The long and winding road leads us here to the doorstep of the postseason. One win, a little bit of help away from ending 17 seasons of misery.
Allen steps up. Jumps over the defenders to pick up the first. Now, how many quarterbacks have you ever seen hurdle anyone?
Oops, he throws. Touchdown! Andre Reed for the touchdown! The Bills have scored!
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. You're listening to the Red, White and Buffalo Blues. A late episode for this one, but this is episode 39, and Matt and Alex are here to discuss the 9-3 Buffalo Bills. Alex, how you doing?
I mean, it's a late episode based off the game, but based off the week, it's an early episode.
True. We'd be you should be reviewing it, reviewing a game in about a couple of hours' time, to be honest.
Yeah. So we're still on time. Yeah.
So what I want to do, I want you to take a listen to this bit of audio. I want to know your views on it. Okay.
I know we're supposed to talk about the Cowboys, and I get it. We have this graphic on the bottom of the screen that shows the Cowboys right there. Let me get this camera. You see that graphic right there?
Yeah, it's
all
a
due
star.
Respect to the producers.
Is that out of Buffalo, Nate?
You know what? I'm tired of talking about this team. Okay. I'm tired. This is ridiculous.
They're not very good.
As talented as they are, I get it. They're America's team. Why aren't we talking about America's spirit animal and the Buffalo Bills, right? You know, America's team is the glitz and the glory, the fancy stadium.
Let's
and you
go.
Got Jerry Jones talking There's every single logo. Day. And he's But what do we represent as a country?
Yes.
It's what the Buffalo Bills represent. Wow. You wake up, you go to work, you quietly do your job, and then you get the results that you put the work in for. You know why I love this team? It's because Josh Allen has been kicking butt. He has been kicking butt. And not only has he been kicking butt, but the team is backing them up. You know what I liked about the game yesterday? After the game, Tre'Davious White, he runs in while Josh Allen is eating a little turkey leg, and he takes a bite of it, and he says, "This is my guy." And I'm like, damn it, that looks good, right? Your starting cornerback, one of the best in the business, is coming in backing you up. And then they go into the locker room, Cole Beasley, who had a hell of a game, right?
Look at him, yeah.
Hell of a game. He's talking to the media. He says, "I'm not a fighter, but if Josh Allen walked into a bar fight, I would be right there with him." Like, you don't hear that.
Nate, you're saying Dallas is America's team and the Bills are the American dream. You know what I'm saying?
That's it.
Get up and go to work.
That's it.
Work
hard. That's it. And I love the fact that every other player on this team is backing up a quiet, soft-spoken, praise-deflecting young quarterback who is having one hell of a sophomore season.
Yeah.
And that's why I wanted to kind of take a left turn, because I'm just tired of talking about the Cowboys because they're not fulfilling expectations. Let's give the Buffalo Bills respect.
You talked about.
So what do you think of that? Nate Burleson saying Buffalo, the spirit animal, and did not want to talk too much about the Dallas Cowboys.
It's good that someone wants to, you know, say what we're all thinking. I can't imagine that everybody watching these shows wants to hear about the Cowboys the whole time. I'm sure that everybody outside of the state of Texas, and even many people probably in the state of Texas, are sick of hearing about the Cowboys. I mean, you have the Texans in that state that are also doing better than the Cowboys are. But it just seems like this is what always happens to us.
Yeah.
We always get shit on before the season and before games, and there's always doubts. And then after a game, when we shut up a team, everybody wants to talk about the loser. Where's the respect given? In an NFL game, you have to beat the other team. We did that. Why is everybody – they're not making excuses for the Cowboys, but they're talking about, you know, how they beat themselves and did they lose the game. Well, of course they lost the game. They lost the game because we beat them. There's no other way to say it.
I think I was actually at work. I was actually, when I first saw the article pop up, which was I actually went back and YouTubed the whole episode because it was a Good Morning Football.
Yeah.
It was most of the time. It was every single segment they started after they came off break. They would always revert back to Dallas and obviously Jerry Jones and how he stormed out the box towards the end. But it's obviously when Nate then said that he's had enough talking about them, and obviously given that the massive speech, I thought maybe it is time, and they've done it a few times in the episode, actually talk about should the Bills get more respect for being 9-3. Because most of the media, especially the PFF, when they did their predictions and before the game, Boomer, I can't remember who else was in the studio, they all went to sweep for Dallas. Even the guys on the NFL on Sky Sports, they went Dallas, Dallas, Dallas. I just don't know whether they always want to set themselves up for disappointment, or they need to show the Bills more respect. And I think
I think Jerry Jones pays for all the attention. I mean, he knows how to control a narrative. I mean, he goes down on the field into the locker room and starts crying like a little baby. Buddy, it's a game.
Yeah.
If the Bills were to have lost, I would have maybe had a few more beers, but I wouldn't have started crying. It's a game. At the end of the day, if we win or lose, life goes on and there are more important things.
Exactly.
And I think it's like he has – his assistant is like a movie director or something. It's like, okay, here, you have to go do this and this, and then you'll get all the attention in the world, little Jerry. It's disgusting. They're a 6-6 bust of a team. Every year preseason, everyone's like, oh, Dak and this offense and Zeke and the defense, blah, blah, blah. Go out and have a game where you can actually live up to your expectations. Mm. You had an opportunity and you didn't. Meanwhile, the Bills are 9-3. They have a QB that no one thought was going to be good, and he just had the best game of his career. Dude put down a 79 completion percentage. No one ever thought he could do that in a game. NFL Next Gen stats had him with an 11.8 completion percentage above expectation. So he just went out there and said, hey, you all think I'm something? Let me show you that I'm more than that. 120.7 QB rating. Come on. Why are we not talking about this?
Yeah, I think I'm hopeful that come next week when we play the Ravens, should, and I still think we can potentially get something out of that game. If we,
I'm not ready to talk about that game.
Yeah, I know.
I'm worried about that game.
Yeah, but if it's to a point where we actually do end up winning that game,
knock on wood,
given all the it may not happen, it may happen, but giving all the praise they're giving Ravens and Lamar Jackson, if Buffalo win and Allen has a good game against them, do you think the respect will still be there? The respect will come for what McDermott and Bean have done for the season. Because, I mean, Nate Burleson was actually full of praise for the work ethic and the fact that the team are starting to resemble what Buffalo people are actually like.
Yeah, it's probably going to have to come next. If a win can come next week, then I think it definitely changes.
Yeah.
But in this situation, on a nationally televised game, the media had an opportunity to make a star in Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
They had a chance to take this kid who has been getting better every week over the last 3 or 4 weeks and really start to, you know, sell jerseys, have kids, you know, want to be like Josh Allen. And they missed an opportunity. All they saw was the star on Dallas, and they just, you know, they just talked about the same thing every show, every personality, every channel. Dak Prescott, Jerry Jones. That's it. And Jason Garrett. That's all anyone was talking about. And why is it that it's more fun, or maybe it's easier to talk about a team when they're down than it is a team that's rising? I feel like the team that's rising is the much more interesting narrative.
Mm, exactly. I think looking at it, I think it starts playing into Buffalo that they can go in undetected, and then it's the case of, oh yes, they're now AFC East champions. They're into the Super Bowl. Oh, let's all jump on the bandwagon. I think that's what they're trying to build up. They're trying to think that they're almost like the time 2017 when we got the playoffs, the media were all over them in the offseason, actually saying, yeah, they're going to make a big team. Then obviously we have a little bit of a slump and then they start backing off. But it's something that I think that we're starting to get recognition. Not too many people, unfortunately, are acknowledging the fact that with a team that's actually spent years in the doldrums, they're starting to get back up to where they should be and starting to play that brand of football, which is going to be entertaining. Then they're starting to realise. I think what you had Michael Robinson. He all season, he's been back in Buffalo. He's probably mainly the only really high profile reporter and expert that I've actually seen that's constantly actually backed up Buffalo. There have been odds and ends here and there. So hopefully.
Oh, everyone's going to say they love Buffalo now, you know? Mm.
So hopefully, if we continue as we're in our ascendancy as we are, who knows, next season, maybe more talk on Good Morning Football, on Score Center, on all those other halftime shows and nothing like that will be more Buffalo Central, knowing that they're actually now being able to build, and with 80-odd million in cap space, an exciting quarterback, exciting defense and improvements on the offense, that it's time to actually give us a lot of more respect than what they're giving, and giving us a straight, it's all going to be Cowboys win. It's all going to be a Cowboys win. Next week, it'll probably be Ravens, 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 Ravens.
Yeah. I mean, you can, I mean, just to, you know, throw out some ideas. I mean, if the Bills can beat the Ravens, it's going to be, you know, oh, what happened to Lamar? It's not going to be how the defense stopped him or anything. It's going to be, oh, is Lamar what we thought he was? And it's just all so stupid. It's just like all of these reporters and whoever's writing for them, they're just spineless. There's no consistency week to week. So few of them, except for like Michael Robinson, can fall in love with a team and stick with it. It's always just, what happened this week? Oh, this. I love this. And it's just different every week, and it's just stupid. I mean, I'm not asking for people to be homers, you know? I mean, I just want consistent narrative, you know, focus.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So I think that's enough about national media and actually getting respect. We show the Buffalo respect. So let's go straight into the review of the game. Now, I think Halloween was about a few weeks ago, but it's a bit of trickery involved in there with the Singletary touchdown and a bit of luck there with the Allen first down. What really stood out for you in that game?
For that play specifically, what really shocked me was where we were on the field when we decided to call that play. Mm. I think like that play really works in the red zone, but we were like in the 30, and it was just let me see, what was the depth of that pass? I have it here. That was a 28 yard pass. Yeah. I mean, when Philly did it, they were like on the 10, you know. Mm. Because the further away you are, what it does is it gives the safety more time to get over there. And it was just I mean, based off of what was on the field, it was just the right play call at the right time, and it was great to see us do something like that. I mean, I think it was like Nate Burleson who was saying, you know, like mocking almost like the same old boring Bills, because that's like what people think of us, you know. But I mean, Josh is out here, his attempts per game are on average slightly higher than what's normal for an NFL team. We are a 2019 NFL team.
Exactly.
Just because we're top five in rushing doesn't mean that we don't know how to throw the ball. We can't be creative. I mean, we're doing jet sweeps like the Rams did last year, and it's working. You know, we're doing this play like Philly did. Congratulations. You know, we're here.
Yep.
We're playing 2019 NFL football. You know, the whole reason why everyone thinks that we're the boring old Buffalo Bills is because we haven't had a quarterback since 1990 goddamn six.
Yeah.
And now we finally do. And it's great to have that, you know?
Yeah, I think there's some interesting stats that I've managed to pick up. I mean, Josh Allen is 10-0 when he completes 60% of his passes. The Bills are 8-0 this season when scoring 17-plus points, 1-3 when scoring less than 17. And just the stats for the day for Josh Allen, his passer rating on third down was 112.5. He was 7-for-9 for 99 yards on third downs with five, and obviously having five passing first downs and a rushing first down.
We've been so good on third down all season. I mean, it feels like it. I'm gonna go get the stats now, but just third and long, it's just if they don't get it, they get it to where it's like fourth and one, fourth and two, and you know we have a coach who's willing to go for it in that scenario, and it's just great to see that because it's modern football. It's so weird to have that, you know.
We're still seeing some on these long plays where they are still throwing that, even if it's like third and 15 plus. That at times we're still seeing the odd drop down of the dump check down play. Like in the game, I think they were third and 23. They were lining up for a play. Then McDermott took a timeout. Then the resulting play after that, I think they gained like 5 yards or something. So I think we're still seeing.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's really hard to do.
Mm.
Third and 20. I mean, that's really hard to do. I mean, it wasn't by any means a perfect game, but yeah. You know, I've seen people say that, and I hate when people say that because he wasn't perfect, but he was great. Like, what? So why start with saying that?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like you want to continue to remind people that Josh Allen isn't the second best quarterback out of this draft class. It's not even close. It's Lamar and Josh, and it's not even close. Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold have not grown at all this year.
Well, for the Dallas game, Josh was actually the second best quarterback in the based on stats.
Yeah.
Based on quarterback rating, with John Brown with the perfect 158 percent.
Absolutely, yeah. You heard him in the locker room saying, you know, we had two great quarterbacks today.
Yep.
But yeah, I think the best thing about this game is it was the third game in a row where the coaching staff has showed me the ability to adjust and learn and pivot for what's best for the team. In a very short amount of time, this coaching staff has addressed all of our doubts and I think put it together. That's so rare because I remember when we had Rex Ryan and, you know, the whole story surrounding him was we're going to play my defense, even though he didn't have the personnel for it. And he fired Greg Roman, even though his defense gave up 40 points. And it's great to see a coaching staff who knows how to make adjustments. It's mind-boggling to me that Terry Pegula put together the last regime and now he put together this one.
Yeah. I think
it maybe even shows there that he had the ability to say to put together a list of what wasn't working and then just do the exact opposite, cuz that's gone from the Ryan administration to this one.
I think it is a case now that obviously Bean and McDermott have had their time. They've worked on what they need to do on defense, turn to offense, but I think, like we've said in the previous shows, I think now we've got what offense we would like to run and what offense Josh is capable in. And again, they ran the 1-1 person. But now they've had John Brown, Cole Beasley, Zion McKenzie, which could easily turn into Robert Foster right now, Singletary and Dawson Knox as your main guys. I think that is the best way to go. And going back on briefly for 2 seconds on the whole respect for the Bills, I had saw a tweet from Field Yates going, Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott have built a culture, cleaned up the salary cap, drafted well, spent wisely at all levels of free agency. developed young players, found a promising QB, and now are 9-3, building something special in Buffalo. So I think it's more testament to the fact that we're now starting to put those pieces in. We've had two and a half years of McDermott actually putting his defensive system into play, which now, after the last few games, we're really seeing come to life. And now we can focus mainly on the offense. And if anything, to go by the last 3-4 games, with an off season, with a chance, with the draft, with an offensive loaded draft, and what's available, if there is anything available in free agency, we can see that offense starting to come together and start us to build a perfect team around Josh Allen, around the no huddle based offense.
Yeah, to talk about the no huddle, I think it was, we called, like, 30% of our plays came out of the no huddle in this game. And you can just see, it's unbelievable to see, to go back to the draft, the 2018 draft for the quarterbacks, I had done no individual research. I just read summaries of what other people thought of these players. And I wanted Josh Rosen. But now going in, because I thought he was the smartest of them all. But to see what Josh has done the last 3 weeks out of the no huddle and making adjustments and calling plays at the line and changing protections, the dude looks like Peyton Manning out there. His trust in the players, his trust in the offensive coordinator, his trust in himself to read the defense correctly and call the right play. It's just so, enlightening almost to have a quarterback that you can trust every week.
Yeah.
And there were a few plays where I was yelling, throw it away, and he took some sacks. On the Hauschka missed 50-yarder, he took a really bad sack because he was trying to make a play. And, I mean, there was a penalty on it, too. So that maybe isn't all of his fault. But, I posted on Twitter through 12 games, which is all he played last year, every single individual stat is better than it was last year.
Yeah, I saw that tweet. Mix that in
with how good he looks pre-snap. Even if he doesn't get any better from where he is right now, we still have a quarterback that can, with this defense and with the rest of the talent on offense, you can kind of book 9 wins every year with where we are right now.
Yeah. So
going forward, like you said, with adding more pieces, with all the money we have, if we hit on our draft picks again, this is something that we're building, and this is just the start of it. There is hesitation there, though, because, I mean, the Rams were good last year, and look at them this year. Jared Goff stepped backwards.
Same Chiefs with Chicago.
Mitch Trubisky took a step backwards. For the Chiefs, I think that Mahomes is still doing Mahomes stuff, but they lost the running game and they still have no defense, so they took a step back. But right now, everything that we have in place looks to be able to, with additions, get better.
Yeah.
Because even if we lose Leslie Frazier, if he gets a head coaching opportunity, you still have McDermott, and this is his offense. Frazier's just kind of, steering the wheel.
And I can't remember who else. I'm going to look up while we discuss some more. The other coaching staff that if Frazier ever did go. And to be honest, I wouldn't be sad if he did go, because after what he's been through before he came to Buffalo, the way he's rebuilt his career.
Yeah, he would absolutely deserve it.
Running the defense, if there is an opening, I would not be sad if he got offered the job and took the job, because he is one that would deserve another shot of redemption, and showing what he's done with talent and a perfect scheme, so to speak, for the defense. If he can bring in other people, then fair play to him. Go for it. Take what you've learnt and go. But it's interesting. It's it's something that's going to be looked at in this offseason. But
I'm really excited to be able to break down what's available in the offseason with what we can do. And first, we got to focus on who we're going to sign on our own team, because I think there's not a lot of turnover needed. There's so many holes that are already filled on this team, and we have the money to re-sign those players, which is great. You know, Shaq Lawson and everybody in the secondary. So it's just great to think that this team will get better. But I think we're looking ahead. Let's talk. There's two specific things that I want to talk about on offense outside of Josh Allen.
Go for it.
And for me, it was John Brown's block on Josh's touchdown run.
Yep.
I mean, that was such – it was so far away, I didn't think he was going to get in. Because he's got, for whoever number 50 was for Dallas, coming.
Sean Lee.
He took a bad angle, which was great. So thanks for that, you bum. but there's the defender in the end zone who's going to stop Josh. And John Brown is just fighting him.
Yeah.
So tough. And he's so small.
I mean,
it just goes to show that, like, this is a team that's truly a team. There are no individuals on this team. It really feels like they all love being here. And I think that's so rare in the NFL, where guys are like, hey, look at me. I want my next contract. You know, I'm wearing a $15 million watch because I'm so awesome. Everybody here has everybody's back. They're going to do their job. They're not going to take a play off. They're not going to slack.
Yeah.
They're not gonna, you know, half-ass an assignment.
I think it also goes to what Cole Beasley was actually saying after the game. He said he loves being in Buffalo, the people, his teammates and all that. And he would say that even though he's not much of a fighter, he would actually, if Josh Allen went into the bar and started a fight, he would actually join him in that fight. So you can see the camaraderie that's actually been built up. And that's what makes this team that much special, is that, as you say, they will work for each other, they won't back down, and they will learn and actually keep learning from each other and actually looking to improve every single way of the every single step. So soon it could be a case that the Bills may not be in free agency. The Bills are usually the team that no one wants to join, because it's all the way up in the north of the country, it's cold, it's snowy. But then when you get the likes of John Brown saying the time was right for me to come to Buffalo, it was in God's plan to bring me to Buffalo. Cole Beasley coming out and saying that he loves it here and he wants to stay for the rest of his career in Buffalo. It shows that the work ethic, the camaraderie is actually building something special and building into the culture again, which is making us that more likable. Or hopefully that more likable to the media.
I mean, imagine how much different this conversation could go if we would have traded for Antonio Brown or Odell Beckham. I think we wouldn't be saying what we're saying now. I think we would have a wide receiver who would be whining and complaining after every game that he didn't get 10 targets. We don't have a player on that team. I mean, just look at Cole Beasley's game. It's like out of a movie script. It's like whoever wrote the movie Rudy wrote the script for this game.
Yeah.
6 of 7 on target of catches. Him and Josh are completely on the same page. That touchdown throw that he had, where Josh is running, and how good has he been throwing on the run the last few games?
Yeah,
he's just getting that accuracy down. the overhead cam showed the review of that throw, and all I saw was linebacker because Beasley's so small. But Josh just knows where he is, and he put the ball in the exact right spot. It's so great to be able to say that our quarterback can do that, because I don't think we've had one in a very long time that's been able to make that throw. And the throw out of the end zone, too. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I mean, that's QB1 stuff. It's really exciting.
Yeah, I think also that we're seeing more and more Beasley now. I think it is because the offense is being simplified into the personnel. I think rather than having it mixed and matched every time that there's a different wide receiver on at different plays, Josh is obviously now having trouble, or probably did have trouble actually understanding who's running which route, where they all are. But obviously now with Beasley, he actually started to improve the chemistry a lot more. I think it has down to the offensive personnel. That's my belief in there. But another thing was he actually, for one pass, Josh Allen was pretty much a statue.
Yeah, that was so crazy to see. It's like one of those things where, like, the controller in your video game console has been disconnected and you have to hurry up and connect it back. I mean, and that was a great move on him by him, too, because it froze the linebacker. The linebacker was like, what the hell's happening? Why is he just standing there? Like, you know, there was no shuffling of the feet. With Josh, you expect him to maybe run, but he just stood in there and just really faked out the defense on that play. I mean, you're getting really smart stuff from him lately.
Yeah, and I mean
around him too. It's great to see that when our number one, John Brown, if he's not going or if he's being taken away by the defense, we have other guys that can step up. And it's like exactly. If Brown's not there, boom, it's Beasley, and he's gonna be there.
Yeah,
and this is what's great for a team that has a QB who's still growing. Guys who can step up, and Josh always has someone who we can look to be there for him.
Exactly, and it helped that another stat is his offensive line. His offensive line, every single one of those players played every single snap of that game.
I think the unsung hero of this season is our strength and conditioning team. I mean, to be able to go through this season with the so few injuries that we've had, and for everybody on this team, you know, all of the important players on defense and on the offensive line to be hitting 100% on their snap count is just a testament to, you know, the new facility that we have in and the training staff that we have. It's rare.
Yeah.
And it's so important to the growth of this team.
I think we're still maybe a piece away, possibly a piece away on that offensive line. Maybe depends on what they do with Spain in the in the off season. But having that settled now for two games, the settled starting offensive line, and obviously in this case they've actually started the whole game, can only be more of a benefit to Josh Allen than it is going to be a hindrance. Because obviously, okay, yes, there have been times the Insecki incident was actually unfortunate, and obviously they had their rotation. There have been a few injuries, not serious. I mean, you're looking back at the Broncos game where Morse was out with the injury to the finger and a snapping finger.
Right. And
obviously, Feliciano came over. Spencer Long came in to fill in for him. I think sometimes it can be more of a hindrance because you may not have played fully behind the guys coming in training camp, or not training camp, in practice. But have him having that settled line now of Dawkins, Spain, Morse, Feliciano and Ford, I think it's making him a lot more comfortable because he knows how they're going to play. He knows that they're going to be there to protect him, and then obviously knows their strengths and weaknesses, and obviously can obviously now wait to detecting what defense they're running, be able to get them into position and give them help, whether it be a quick throw or change it from a run or a pass to a run.
For me, it's just what we have now and what's been building with the next four games, it'll really tell me what we have.
Yeah.
We haven't really had a consistent test. Whenever we've had a close game, it was followed by a gimme. But even early in the season, to compare the stats from early in the season to what we have now, I mean, there's a stat on Pro Football Reference called expected points, and it just takes what the offense is doing and what, you know, the points that they should be putting up.
Yeah.
I mean, early in the season, even with wins, we have -3, -12, -1, -7. And lately, it's been 15, 8, 17. Just how great is that, you know, to see that
exactly
growth? And Baltimore's going to be a really big challenge, and Steelers defense is really good, but so was the Broncos defense. They were really good, and so was the Cowboys defense. And there wasn't anything that made me worry at all in either one of those games. I think one of the best stats that I'm looking at is the simple rating system. I've mentioned it a few times about how we're now the fourth best team in the AFC based off that stat. Our offense is still in the negative. It's minus one, but it's now minus 1.2, so we're creeping up there. But in terms of the whole league, where we've kind of been in the 20th percentile on the season, we're now, I think it's 12th out of the out of 32 teams. If it's not 12th, it's like 15th. But that's exactly where I said, for us to be successful, we need to be. We need to have just average offensive stats with what this defense can do. And to talk about this specific game, the defense, I just think they continue to defy expectations. I mean, Dallas was 4th in points, 1st in yards, and 1st in yards per play, and we literally shut them down.
Yeah.
It was just like with in the Dallas game and in games previous, where here's a team that's good at running the ball. And once we stopped them a few times in the offense, which is what we've never had, an offense who could get a lead, the other team starts throwing the ball. And that plays right into what we want them to do.
Exactly.
Because if Dallas kept running the ball, because Ezekiel Elliott had a really good first half, and then he disappeared because our offense went up by multiple scores.
Yeah.
So everything about this game was played to perfection by our coaching staff and executed by the players that we have. Ed Oliver getting so much better. Star. There was so much criticism 4 games ago, and now the dude's making plays every week. Shaq Lawson just... We didn't even want to sign him. And this season, he's just a revelation. Micah Hyde, like Joe B said, he's probably the MVP of that defense. Dude was just all around the ball.
Exactly.
This defense and Leslie Frazier are also a huge factor in Josh's growth. Josh doesn't need to go out there and play hero ball, even though he did on that fourth down play.
It allows him
to be able to have some punts and still not worry about having to go out there and chuck the ball. I mean, Dak Prescott had a much higher yards per completion, but Josh didn't need to because he didn't need to get and big chunk plays.
And most of Prescott's yards came when the Bills actually just started putting points on that. Obviously, they abandoned the run, and then the majority of them came in that fourth quarter in garbage time.
So that's when we go back to playing just base defense because we don't want to show, you know, anything special. There wasn't a lot of pressure on Dak consistently, but when it was impactful. I mean, the turnovers, the timely sacks. They were able to move the ball, and luckily we put the clamp down when they got into our own field, red zone. We locked it down. I mean, that fourth down call, the swing pass to Zeke, I mean, that was just stupid. And even if he completed it, we had two guys on him. So that wasn't work. And then the missed field goals by Dallas. Did everything that they needed to stop them. Because even if Maher makes those field goals, we still win the game. So it doesn't matter. But if you want to switch narrative and talk about our kicking game, we could do that.
Well, let's talk quickly a bit more about the defense on that. I mean, I've just pulled up the team stats for the season. I think how it's now going out, we've got Jordan Phillips on top in sacks, 7.5 sacks. Shaq Lawson now has rocketed up to 5.5. Jerry Hughes, 3.5. Star Lutelele, I think I pronounced that right, hallelujah, 2 sacks, and his first ever career interception. But the one that stood out for me, Ed Oliver now, after the first 5-6 games, is now up at 5 sacks for the season. And he had a monster game. It's almost like his coming out game.
Oh, it was on the stage where you would want to have that game. I think he knew, it's like, hey, people are going to get to see me. Let's go out and do it. And he had that game. I mean, we have 15 players on defense that have a sack.
Yeah. I think it goes down to, Lorenzo Alexander's got two, Murphy's got two, Milano's got one and a half, so is Edmonds. Kevin Johnson, the cornerback's got one, Daryl Johnson one, Corey Leggett's got one, White, Johnson, Jordan Poyer all have one, and Harrison Phillips has half a sack.
It just goes to show that when another team is going to game plan for us, they have to expect pressure from everywhere and anywhere at any time. And it's just a testament to McDermott and Frazier about how they've been able to put together a defense with the right players, the right talent, and the right scheme.
Yeah.
I mean, we've shut down Tom Brady. We've shut down Dak Prescott. I mean, there hasn't been a quarterback all season that's carved us up.
Mm. Exactly.
I mean, sure. We've only played maybe four quarterbacks all year that could have done it, but they haven't. Even Carson Wentz didn't do it, you know. So
yeah. So I think
the biggest test obviously will be next week, but let's right now just revel in this win, you know.
Exactly. I think going back to, if we're going to talk just about a few minutes, I know we could, as we always say, we can do a whole episode on kickers and punters. We'll just do a quick minute or two on that. Obviously, I put a tweet out with a poll on should people be worried about Hauschka, obviously missing field goals from 50 yards in the stadium with no wind and obviously that extra point. Is it time to feel worried? And for Corey Bojorquez, whose last few games has actually, his punting's been on point. I think the majority... I think the majority have actually said that they're kind of worried about Hauschka, but do you give him a bit more time to redeem himself? We'll obviously have to wait and see how the next four games go. If he continues to struggle in those next four games and miss easier field goals, you then look, you kind of evaluate, do you bring someone in for competition? Do you cut him and draft someone? Or do you pick up a free agent on the street and give him a bit of competition? But as I say, we could go on for ages on that one, but yeah, I thought I'd just put it on there.
No team can afford missed field goals. I think, but just us especially, with how important it's going to be with an offense that's still not like top 10, every point's that are available, you have to make and you have to get. So I would like to see us maybe be better on fourth down because we can't turn the ball over and we have to make field goals. I mean, in Dallas, I think is the best kicking conditions in the whole NFL. And you can't miss those kicks. I mean, the distance was good from 50, but he just shanked it. And then the extra point. Leave those. That's 4 points that are left on the board against the number one offense in the league. Luckily, it didn't come back to hurt us. But you just can't say, "Oh, it's okay that he missed it. Our defense is okay. They'll take care of it," because you can't guarantee that every week. So I'm not really worried. Because at the end of the day, it's kicker. But you can see how it's hurt teams in the past with the Chargers and the Bears and how they miss field goals in big situations. So,
I think before we sign off, I know you're always the guy with the stats. I'm going to bring a couple of stats to end this show. Obviously, Bills Cowboys was the highest rated Thanksgiving game in 27 years. Allen's now recorded his 9th career game with passing and rushing TD, and actually now has the longest active streak in the NFL of 8 games, and also holds the record, the Bills record, which was actually from Jim Kelly. So we know that he's got that game. I'll leave that with you. And obviously the stats of the Bills are 8-0 when scoring 17+, and 10-0 when Josh Allen completes 60% of his passes. I think they're the stats that need to focus on, and hopefully we come back on Thursday, discuss this a bit more, ask the question, do you fear the Ravens? And then next week, hopefully go in there knowing that we've secured that playoff place and fighting for that top spot. So unless you've got any other...
Yeah, I mean, just to say, again, just to kind of close out what we were talking about at the top of the show, I don't need the national media to talk about us. The Bills have their fan base, and we are all diehard. We love being the underdog. We always have been. That's Buffalo.
Yeah.
There's no room here for bandwagon fans. We only want fans who will jump through tables. And I know every single one of us would for this team.
Yeah.
So, national media, keep talking about Dallas. We don't care. We know what we have, and we love it. We don't need any vindication or recognition from you.
And if there's any Garys listening, Dallas gone down, man.
Dallas gone down, Gary.
So until next time, when we come back for the preview of the Ravens game, from me and Alex, it is good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Continue subscribing, downloading, reviewing, continue your support, follow us on social media, and hope you all had a good Thanksgiving, and go Bills.
Go Bills.
Dallas is going down, Gary. Only Buffalo is going to win it. Dallas is going down.
Not us.
Not us.
You don't know anything about heart. You don't know anything about work.
No. Huh? That's who we are.
Bills on three. One, two, three.